We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
It's always good to be together, to gather together, to open up the Word of God together, and to allow the Word to start to kind of reveal things within us that need to change. How many know change? It'll do you good, won't it? It will. It'll do us good. And although we don't always love change, I think it's a little easier to change when we feel as though God is prompting it. Anyone agree with that? How many know you can't outdo God? What that means is if God has a best for you, nothing you have in mind as best is ever going to be better than God's best. And so that's why I'm so really wanting us to focus in on understanding when God speaks. One of the most asked questions a pastor ever gets is also the hardest one to answer, and that's the one we've been digging into. And that question is, how do I know when God is speaking to me? Has anyone ever had that question? I know that anyone that is trying to hear God's voice has had that question. And I've also kind of had that feeling like, God, if you own cattle on a thousand hills, you own everything on the world, a megaphone, some sort of loudspeaker would certainly be helpful at this point for me to be able to hear what you're really trying to say. Has anyone ever been in a relationship where you don't understand what the other person's getting at? They seem to be laying down little nuggets of wisdom that if you are a decoder and a decipherer, then maybe you can get it right. Some of us will say that's exactly how God is, but what I want to tell you is that God is more clear than we often understand. See, it's easy to make it seem so difficult, and I'm not saying that it's always easy, but what I am saying is the more we say it's difficult, the less we try. And the more we say, God, I just can't hear you, the less we lean in. We just say, you need to speak louder, but he says, you need to come closer. And that's where so much disconnect is with our faith. We say, God, if you're all powerful, you need to do it bigger. And he says, no, you just need to draw closer. And so I want to talk to you about many ways that God speaks to us. He's a very creative God. And so he shows us in so many different ways throughout the scripture how creative he is, the way he communicates to us. And so last week we went through a story of 1 Kings, and I'm just going to do a condensed version because we're going to dive into another story as well. But let's just kind of, we're going to do a quick little review to catch everybody up. 1 Kings 19 says, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. For the Lord is about to pass by. He likes to speak in third person, but he's three people, so. Oh, ba-doots. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the winds. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. This also translates into a still, small voice. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? We're expecting God to reveal all these amazing details, and oftentimes he will. But what I've come to realize is most of the time when God speaks in a way that I hear it, it's normally about trying to correct my direction. Because how many know when you're doing things right and you're going the right way, there's less need for instruction? Some of you feel like, man, I just feel like I haven't heard God in a while. Well, then probably there's one of two things. Either you're going the right direction and there's peace in your heart, which makes you know you're going the right way, or you know you haven't done the last thing he said, so he's just not going to keep talking. One person's clapping because they know they're going the right direction. So listen, as we read through this, it reminds me that God is committed to wanting to help us understand the next step. If we were to continue reading in 1 Kings, God would end up saying, go back the way you came, which is exactly opposite what the prophet wanted to do. Again, it leads me to, we want to hear God's voice until he says something we don't want to hear. I think that if we believe in God and we believe that he's trying to communicate to us, we've got to be okay with doing whatever he says, regardless of how we feel. You can be okay with doing something even when you don't feel good about it. You're like, well, how am I okay? You just know. This is what, how many people know that they had to get out of bed for work Monday morning? They're okay about it, but they don't feel great about it. They're okay because they know it's the right thing to do. They know they need to pay the bills. They know they need to feed their kids. The kids aren't going to feed them. Hello, anyone know what I'm talking about? So listen, you can do things. You can be okay with it, but not feel great about it. What I know is that when Elijah heard God saying no, I know that every other prophet is dead. And I know that you're scared and running for your life, but you need to go back the way you came. I'm sure that wasn't exactly what Elijah wanted to hear. But if we'll lean in and hear what God is trying to say to us, as we go, he'll reveal the why. And you remember a few weeks back, our why is what anchors us. It's about why, not how we feel. And so if we're really about God's why, then we're going to overcome how we feel about it. Yes? And so quick review. Number one, God is still speaking. I believe not only is he still speaking through his word, people say, oh, that thing was written over, you know, thousands of years ago. Yeah, but it is still breathing. The word of God is breathing. It still gives rhema word, word for today, word for your circumstance, your situation, the very need, the very request, the very prayer you've been throwing up to the Lord. Figuratively, maybe literally, I don't know. Listen, all I'm saying is the very prayer that you've been praying, oftentimes God already has a word for it if you would just open the word. God is still speaking, and he's already speaking to you. I believe that. Number two, God wants us to understand. Jesus said himself, what did he say? Let's go to that John 15 scripture. It says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Jesus wanted to make sure we understood. And so God is still speaking. God wants you to understand. Number three, God is creative in his communication. This is where we get hung up. This is where we can get a little tied up. We can say, but God, if you're speaking, why can't I hear you? But maybe you're only trying to listen in one way. God speaks through so many different avenues, so many different ways. And in fact, this was going to be a one part, then it turned into a two part. Now it's going to be a series because God just likes to speak in many different ways. Okay? So we're going to keep digging through the ways God likes to speak because I don't want you to miss him. I don't want you to miss him. So God, he speaks in creative ways. Just as creative and as unique as he made you, he speaks to you uniquely. But let me make it very clear. He doesn't speak so new, unique to you that it omits what he's already said. Well, I know, I've had so many people say, Pastor, I know God spoke to me. God told me to do this. And I go, well, based on Proverbs 24, he didn't. Otherwise, he's double-minded. Oh, so you mean what he said to me uniquely still has to make sense to the rest of his word? Yeah. It's called a filter. God will not go against his own word. And so if you believe God's spoken to you, first of all, I believe he is speaking to you, but I believe he's going to say the same thing he's already said. Does it make sense? Okay, then I'll keep moving. Once I feel like you guys got it, I just keep moving, okay? And so some of the common ways, the most common ways, again, this is review. Some of the most common ways he speaks to us is A, his written word, known as the Logos, the written word of God, the Bible. And it tells us in 2 Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed and useful. And it goes through a list for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may feel good. No. Be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, everyone thinks that the word and everything God says is just going to give me the warm fuzzies. Jesus is not woke. He's not about your warm fuzzies. He's not about you feeling good in your own skin. He's about dying in his skin so that you can live eternally. And so stop getting it twisted. Are you getting this? And so listen, when we're saying God, is that you? I promise if it's him, it's not contradicting the word he already said. Okay, so God speaks through his word, A. B, he speaks through his son, capital S, Jesus, the living word. Hebrews 1:1-2 says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his son. And Jesus said, you know, my sheep hear my voice. Okay, Some people say, hey, I'm into the God thing. Some of the things Jesus said were a little controversial. So like, you know, I believe in Jesus, but maybe I don't really believe he's like the ultimate, you know, source of everything. Maybe I just believe he was a prophet. Then you don't believe in Jesus because Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He didn't get it wrong. Either you believe or you don't believe. Don't be in that gray, lukewarm area where God literally wants to... The Bible says, I'd rather you hot or cold. The lukewarm makes him sick. I'll spew you out of my mouth, it says. No one likes throwing up. No one likes to be the throw up, okay? All right. C, God speaks just through his Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all God, triune God, three different functions, but still God. Do we get it? Okay? So God loves to whisper because, why? To hear a whisper, one must lean in. Someone's like, I've heard this from last week. Well, you need to hear it again. And the person next to you wasn't here last week, so we need a review. Okay? John 14:17 says, the Spirit of truth, capital S, right? Talking about the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I don't have time to dig into Acts 2, but if you're really interested, there's a difference between being born of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. I really hope that you'd go to the second level. Okay. So the D, yeah, I'm doing letters, right? He also speaks through his disciple. We read about this in Proverbs about wise counsel, right? Somebody wants to know whether or not they're moving on behalf of God. You see kings go before prophets throughout the Old Testament. You see people seeking wise counsel, not peer counsel. This is where many people fail. They say, I got counsel. No, you didn't. You got opinion from the peanut squad. You've got an opinion from somebody on how to make your marriage better, from somebody who's been married three times and is still in the bar looking for the fourth. Wise counsel. Okay, I'll move on. I think I got that one. Look at 1 Peter 4. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. Man, I love it. My wife and I, we were just talking the other day. I think it was literally 2 days ago, and how my wife was just was feeling all this certain way. You know how, ladies, you can feel just a certain way, and you don't know why? Guys, you know what I'm talking about, and you don't know why either, and don't try to act like you do. Listen, but at night, as she was going and praying with Riley all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just started saying all of these words to Julie that literally were the words coming from from our own daughter, but they were coming from the heart of God, and it literally filled up her words baskets, and actually the things that she was doubting, her own daughter was being used by God to fill up. But she could have just said, oh, I've got a sweet daughter. Instead, she came in and she said, God just spoke to me through our daughter, and I said, well, we're doing something right. We literally have the ability to be used by God and be a mouthpiece. In that moment, my own daughter was said, if anyone speaks, they should do as one who speaks the very words of God. She was speaking the very words of God to a mother in need who just happened to be her own. Don't discount what you think you should say to somebody and you try and push off like, that's weird, I'm not gonna do that. No, step out and say it. Come out with it, okay? Now we're gonna get into some fresh territory because we're at E. E is for extra. It's the letter of the day. Listen here. E, God likes to speak to us also through prayer. No need for a drum roll there. We know that God speaks to us through prayer. In fact, I could have done the whole series just on how God speaks to those who pray. There's a reason why you should have a war room. There's a reason why you should have a place that you go and pray. There's a reason why you should actually have some time that you personally schedule with God to do so, so he knows that he's important enough to have the time. Does God speak to all of us the same way? No. We're all unique. Are these the only ways God speaks today? No. He's a creative God. But one way he always has chosen to speak with us and his people is through prayer. Psalm 17:6 says, I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. John 16:23 says this, in that day you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father, this is Jesus, will give you whatever you ask in my name. in my name. Okay, so when we say a prayer, and we oftentimes you hear people end it in Jesus' name, amen. It's this scripture where we're asking in his name, okay? And then what is that? Amen. What does that even mean? It means let it be so. So we're saying in Jesus' name, let this be so. Okay? And so we know that God allows us to speak to him. We know that those that are part of God, they're in Christ, that we can ask things in Jesus' name. And so we do. That's a good thing. Yay, we ask. But listen, God wants, he wants us to pray and he wants to answer, but he is not looking to be your genie in a bottle. He's looking to be your father. He's looking to be in relationship with you. And so if the only time you ever open your Bible, the only time you ever pray is the same time you would have pulled out the lamp, you've got a problem. I'm not saying that he won't listen. I'm not saying that he won't answer. I'm just saying he wants a deeper relationship than that. Okay. Second Chronicles says this, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Everyone often likes to seek his face, but they ain't turning from nothing. If they would seek my face and turn from what they do on Friday nights and turn from what they're doing with that group and turn from what they're doing when no one's looking. If they would seek my face and not if, okay, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God wants to answer our prayers, but he wants you to be in relationship with him. That's through prayers. All right, I'm gonna spend the most of the rest of my time on this letter, which is F, and it is God speak to us through dreams. Through dreams. Acts 2 says this, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Say prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Say visions. And your old men will dream dreams. Dream on. No. Okay, listen. You have read this. And yes, when we talk in the old, when we talk back in the old scripture times, when they write, whenever they would refer to a man, it was referring to his household. That's why whenever we see it says that God fed the 4,000, that was referring to the household men. So actually, he probably fed more like 20,000. Okay? And so I want you to understand, it's not just for men to dream dreams. It's not just for young men to see visions. God is utilizing all these ways to continue to speak to all of us. Does it make sense? And so I'm going to talk about visions next time, and I'll probably dig more into prophecy. No, I'll dig into that today if we have time, okay? Don't rush me. Look, a vision is inspired appearance, something you see literally with your eyes or in your mind or in your spirits. But we will get there another week. I just wanted to let you know. But let's go to dream. A dream is something seen in your sleep or something you imagine doing. A goal or an aspiration. God can insert images and ideas into our minds whether we are conscious or not. And that's why I love it. God, all the time, I'm just like, God, just give me some amazing dream. Haven't had those all that often because I think that's the way where he'd much rather us lean in than just do a download. Someone goes, man, if God would just speak to me in dreams, all I can do is, you ever have that weird dream where you're always running and you don't know why you're running? You're like Forrest Gump. You have no clue why. I just keep running and run. No, listen, I want my dreams to be God-inspired words. Sometimes he's spoken in that way. Other times he doesn't, but he's still speaking. Maybe for you, you just can't shake a specific dream, and you know you don't like the dream because it's calling you to a better place, but it makes you do hard things. Okay, well, then maybe God's speaking to you through dreams. But one of the most famous Bible stories to use as an example of this is the story of Joseph. Follow along with me in Genesis 37, starting in verse 5. It says, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. Awesome. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, and when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream. And he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream. And this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. When he told his father as well, his brothers and his father rebuked him. But his father kept the matter in mind. Why? Because his father knew that God speaks in dreams. See, we would end up seeing that these two dreams were one and the same. Inevitably, as we follow the story of Joseph, we would end up see him sold into slavery by the brothers who hated him, ended up becoming part of Potiphar's house, part of Pharaoh's staff, and inevitably second in the whole kingdom. And actually, his brothers did come and bow down before him. It was literally ended up becoming a prophetic dream. God speaks through dreams. God spoke also through dreams to Jacob in Genesis 28 as an assurance of God's covenant. He spoke to Solomon in a dream through assurance of God's wisdom in 1 Kings 3. God speaks through dreams. Okay? But what's interesting is that God also speaks through prophecy. Letter G. Okay? Again, go back to Acts 2 just to restart us up here. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. So let's talk about prophecy, okay? Because how many know prophecy is a very interesting one? Anyone ever been burned by prophecy? Okay, no one's raising their hand because they would admit they were like listening to a prophet and you didn't know if they were really prophetic. Listen, let's talk about prophecy because God is still speaking through prophecy. He is, okay? Similar to the way he speaks through his people to sharpen each other, in that it is usually a human that God will speak through, as we saw through the major and minor prophets. By the way, when we talk about major and minor prophets, it doesn't mean how awesome they were as a prophet. It means how much content they gave us in the scripture, okay? So Malachi was a minor prophet, not because he was minor, it's just because he had less content in the scripture. Does it make sense? I thought you should know that, because you're like, man, I wouldn't want to be a minor. No, it's okay. Being a prophet's pretty cool either way, okay? And so a prophetic word, listen, always speaks of what is to come. Of what is to come. In this story of Joseph, we see the dreamer who dreamed the dreams was also gifted to reveal dreams. The unique way in which God spoke to him was also a unique way that God used him as a gift to reveal dreams. Right? And so, if those remember, he decoded two dreams while in prison and prophesied what was to come. He was so accurate with the two other people that were in the prison. One was the baker for the king, and the other one was the cupbearer for the king, and they both had these dreams, and he was so accurate. He said, in 3 days, God, the king is going to reinstate you, and you're going to be holding his cup again as the cupbearer. In 3 days, you're going to lose your head because the king is going to finish you. And that's exactly what happens. Yikes. He was so accurate that inevitably it was his ticket out of prison too. And of course, when I say he was so accurate, God was revealing the dreams to him. And he would end up giving God the credit when he stood before the king, right? So as he was being wrongly held and accused in prison, which this is an amazing story. If you've never read the story of Joseph, I don't have time to read it for you, but go read it. It's going to get popcorn. It's like the coolest movie you've ever seen. Okay? But inevitably was the reason the king summoned him out of prison, because the king himself had a dream and he needed it accurately decoded. But what we see here is that Joseph ended up hearing the king's dream and he ended up prophesying, literally speaking the meaning of the dream, and it was prophetic. He used prophecy to actually sustain Egypt and inevitably save his own family. And it's an amazing story. But look at in Genesis 41, it says this, the dreams of Pharaoh. So imagine this. Pharaoh explains these two dreams. He explains these really big, plump, healthy cows, seven of them eating in the pasture, and then seven really ugly, you know, mangy, thin, malnourished cows coming and eating the big cows, okay? And then he talks about these seven healthy grains of wheat standing tall, and then these other ones that are burned out by the sun, these seven that come and take the place. And so Joseph says the dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The seven lean cows, ugly cows that came up afterwards are 7 years. And so are the seven worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. This becomes prophecy. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all of the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten and the famine will ravage the land. So he's literally explaining what God is saying, and it becomes a prophetic word. And we see, listen, God's word always comes true. And the reason so many people are scarce to ever consider prophecy is because they've heard plenty of prophecy that didn't come true. 87 reasons why God's coming back in 1987. That book is worthless. It's not a hot item to go pick up later, right? Some vintage is just not in, okay? All of the prophecies regarding what was going to happen in the election. So many people are connected to all these prophecies. But can I tell you? Sometimes we see prophets speak of their own opinion, not God's word. This is where we see so much disconnect. They want something so bad, and in fact, they know God so well, God must want it too, and they begin to speak no longer out of God's mouth, but their own. Doesn't mean prophecy is not accurate, it means that prophet isn't. Because God's word will never fail. If God said it, it's coming to pass. That's why Isaiah could say it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before that Jesus would come and be crucified. And guess what? He came and he was crucified. Because if it's God's word, it's going to come to pass. The word God says, or the word says that when Samuel prophesied to Eli in 1 Samuel 3:18, so Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. He told him everything. This is, again, I talked a little bit last week about the story where Samuel is laying in bed and God is saying, Samuel, Samuel. And he gets up and he runs to Eli and says, I'm here, you called? And he says, I didn't call you. And so Samuel goes back and it happens time and time and time again. And then finally Eli, who actually, if you know the scripture, he's on his way out. He's on the fritz. God's already told him what's going to happen and it's not going to be good. And so now Eli goes, oh yeah, hey, if you hear it again, it's probably God. Just say, hey, I'm your servant. I'm here. I'm listening. And then Samuel says that. And guess what? God speaks to him about what's going to happen in the future. And then as soon as he's finished, everyone says, oh man, I can't wait till God tells me. I'd love to speak prophecy. Well, the very first thing Samuel has to do is tell Eli how he and his family are going to die. Oh, I thought it would be cool to prophesy. But here's what's interesting. In that scripture, it says, he told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Sometimes prophecy can come across a little scary, but people are trying to make sure they're hiding nothing. A lot of times, where we see the struggle is they're adding something. See, Samuel was clear to say everything, but add nothing. I believe in prophecy. I believe God's still speaking through prophecy. I just wish more prophets in this world wouldn't add anything extra while they're feeling good and have the light shining on them on the stage. Here's what the scripture says. You go, okay, so God speaks through prophets. How do I know? How do I know what's right and what's wrong? The Bible tells us that we are to weigh the Spirit, the Word, and the prophet. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 14. It says, two or three prophets should speak. Okay, now we're talking about, one having to speak on behalf. So now they begin to filter themselves. I like that. Okay, two or three should speak. But listen to this. And the others should weigh carefully what is said. What does that mean? A self-proclaimed prophet could say something that immediately your spirit goes, eh, eh, eh. No, no, no. Whack. Sometimes you have to understand that just because someone says they're speaking on behalf of God, you still have to weigh the spirits. Closer you are with the Spirit, the more you'll hear what he's trying to say. So I was given some amazing advice, and I'm going to give it to you. When somebody speaks over your life, put it on the bookshelf. What does that mean? I haven't disregarded what could potentially be the word of God, but I'm going to put it on the bookshelf and let God's word reveal itself. Let his word not return void. If this is God, this is going to come together, and I'm willing to accept it, but I'm not going to change my whole life right now for it. when I haven't truly weighed the spirits. I've talked to people that thought they were supposed to drop everything they had and go to Bible college. And I told them, hey, I love your hunger for that. But actually, that's just the hunger of getting in the Word because you're now a Christian. I'm all for further education. But not every person that becomes a Christian becomes a pastor. But we're all supposed to become saints. So let's focus on that, yeah? I'll tell you, God continues to use prophecy. One of my mentors, he was telling me a story about how he had a prophetic word spoken over his life from his mentor. So one of my pastors had his pastor speaking over his life and kept saying, you're called to Orlando, you're called to do this, you're going to raise an amazing church there, and blah, blah, blah. And it immediately hit him in his spirit, and he said, no, I know where I'm called. I know exactly the town and the city I'm called to. God has made it so clear to me. I love you, I'm for you, but that word's not for me. Fast forward 20 years after there was major issues, the very person who put that word on him, it was actually his word, and he had to go and start a church in Orlando. Don't let someone else put, yeah, okay, you ready for this? Don't make someone else make you wear their call. They may have been running away from the very thing. Maybe they didn't want to do it, so they were trying to get someone else to do it. Maybe Saul didn't want to take on Goliath, but he was going to try and put his armor on David. Don't let someone else put their call on your life through a prophetic word, okay? My whole call of ministry, the whole reason I'm even here today is because I had 4 prophetic words in 6 months. Many of you can stand here and testify. You were here when it happened. I was like 15 years old sitting in the front row. 14 and a half, 15 years old playing the bass, and guest speaker after guest speaker, none of them really even knew who I was, and they were speaking to the pastor who happened to be my father, and they didn't even know he was my father. And they're speaking directly. That's going to be your next youth pastor, the one on the stage and the bass. My father's clapping, thinking, you have no clue that that's my son. Then a missionary from India who's never been in our church walks up on the stage, and he's in the middle, and he just starts prophesying over my life. Another one, Ivan Harold, comes through town. He's never been in our church before. He starts prophesying over my life. And all of them were confirming words that I had no clue what it was about. All I knew was, okay, this is going to be weird again, isn't it? I remember sitting there going like, okay, this is a puzzle I can't fix and fit. But inevitably, God was changing my direction. I was in a Jonah season. I was playing the part, literally playing the bass. But I was trying to run from God, yet God was saying, no, you're called. You have a call. Can I tell you, you're called and you have a call. But you know what? I had to put all those prophecies together. I still have them written out. Some of them I still have on the old audio tape, not 8-track, I'm not that old. But listen, many can stand up and testify to those prophecies that happened in this house 20 years ago. We gotta weigh the spirit. God still speaks through prophecy. I believe 100% that God still uses prophecy today, but I do not believe 100% of those claiming to be his prophets. That's what keeps you healthy. That's what keeps you healthy when it comes to those claiming to be a prophet. Most of those that prophesy, they don't actually use the title prophet. Just throwing that out there. We must weigh the spirit and what was said. Trust God to bring his word forth. Continue to move forward with what we do know. And regardless of the way God chooses to reveal himself, remember these truths, church. He will never contradict his word. And the message he gives will always bring glory to God.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.